Okay. Well, so we've heard some awesome testimonies about how great God is and the things that he's done. And we sang some songs that said that all of his promises are yes and amen to us. What does that mean? That they're true, that they never change, that it's for us, it's for all of us. We sang a song about who God is, that he's the way maker, a miracle worker, a light in the darkness. Who else can do that? You know? Right, our promise keeper. Yeah, he said his promises are yes and amen, and he's a promise keeper. I remember years ago there was a promise keeper group of men. Yeah, and they talked about, you know, what God does for us and how they are and how he's faithful to us. So in the last couple of weeks, the last few weeks, we've heard some stuff that goes right along with that. So Shay talked about, you know, what kinds of things, appetites, whatever, keep us from seeing victory in our lives, but that God is faithful to do those things if we'll let him. And then like the next week or so, Mike talked about taking the limits off of what God can do. Let him out of the box. He's not supposed to be kept in a box, right? So, then he can do whatever he wants to do. Or a couple weeks ago, or last week, Dave talked about staying in the Word, to see what the Word says about your situation and to stay there, to keep reading that, to keep confessing that in your life. So what has God told you to do out of all of those things? Has he told you to get healthy or to give more, to create a company, mow someone's lawn or shovel their driveway, to feed the hungry? The hungry. There's hungry people just down the street from us. There's lots of hungry people probably in India and Africa and China and Taiwan, but there's hungry people in Allegheny County, and you can affect those people. Has he told you to maybe stop drinking soda, diet or not, or to stop eating sugar, or to stop smoking, or to stop swearing, or there's all kinds of things that God wants us to do that are to our benefit, to bring glory to him. But some of these seems what? They seem just like downright impossible, don't they? I mean, how many of those things, if you ever smoked, and I never did, but I know people who have and who've quit, that seems impossible. It just seems impossible. If you have lived a life of unhealthy lifestyle for years and years and years, that seems impossible to change, doesn't it? But God can do that. So let's take these last week's messages and the little bit that they're very, very, very simple little thing here I'm going to share with you today. And let's mix it with our faith. Everyone has faith. Everyone has a seed of faith, right? We all got it when we got saved. God gave us all the same faith, and we have to exercise it and make it grow. But let's mix our faith with it. Let's mix the Word of God with it and just be a little bit more walking in victory. And let's walk a little closer to the Father. In fact, let's just hold his hand like all the time. You know, let's just walk with him every minute of the day. And there's a song out there, and I don't know the name of the song, but part of it says, you won't let my hand go. You just hold my hand, you won't let go, you won't let go, you won't let go. And it's really just awesome because God will never let go of us. We're the person who, if it causes that to happen, he will never let go of us. But thinking about it, the impossibility of it, we all have situations about impossibility, family members who aren't saved or walked away from God, who know better, or a financial situation or whatever it is. We all have those situations of impossibility. So let's think about what impossible means for a minute, just to kind of really hammer it home, I guess. So the dictionary says it's not able to occur or exist or to be done. Not that's a worldly definition of impossible, right? And then some synonyms are unattainable, inconceivable, preposterous, unfeasible, hopeless. Preposterous. I love that word, preposterous. That's preposterous. Who can do that? Nobody can do that. Well, you know what? God can.
Yes.
God can do it. And that's what we're looking at. So here's some verses for you that says that God can do the impossible. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from him shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So what does that say? If God said it in his word, he can do it. And if he said it in his word, you can do it. We all can do it, right? He said we're not, he's no respecter of persons. So if he said it, we can all do it. Genesis 11:6. And the Lord said, behold, there are one people and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. This today is only the beginning of what we're going to do with God's help, with him in our midst. And now nothing they have imagined can do will be impossible for them. Isn't that, that's what a great and glorious promise that is. Matthew 17:20. He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is the lack of firmly relying trust, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living, that's as tiny as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, what's the mountain in your life? Smoking, swearing, drinking, whatever, watching too much TV, your car, your home, your food. You can say to that mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you with God. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but all things are possible with God. Mark 10:27. This is most of them that I found. So it's a bunch of them, but it's good. Jesus glanced around at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And Hebrews 6:18, this was so that by two unchangeable things, his promises and his oath, in which it is impossible for God ever to prove false or deceive us, or that means to lie, God can't lie, we who have fled to him for refuge might have mighty indwelling strength and strong encouragement to grasp and hold fast the hope appointed to us, for us, and set before us. So it's impossible, impossible for him to lie. So if he said something, it's the truth. If he said, I will provide all your needs according to my riches and glory, then he will provide all our riches, our needs according to his riches and glory. All of them. What are those riches and glory? They're health, happiness, peace, financial prosperity, financial stability, meeting all your needs, paying all your bills, making sure you have food, making sure you have enough to bless somebody else. That's what meeting all our needs according to his riches and glory are. The example that we can give to the world. If we're walking a victorious lifestyle, then other people are going to see that and they're going to say, man, something's different about them and I want that. Just like your sister. They want it. They really do. So here's some examples about what were impossible situations that God saw through. So the first one that came to my mind was Jesus going to the cross. Is that impossible for him to think about? Think about if it were you, what would you think? I mean, half of us would probably just die from the fear of it, right? Because you would fear it. But you know what? Jesus didn't fear that. He knew that that was what God wanted for him, and he set his eyes on the goal. He set his eyes on the Father, and he went there. And I'm not trying to belittle the fact that he was tortured and killed like any normal common criminal, because that's a big deal. But he set his sight on where he was going, what he was going to do, what was he going to do. He made a way for us to live with him forever. And that's where he set his face. He set his face to the Father to see that goal. And that's what we need to do, right? We need to set our eyes on the Father and what he says. So then, how about Moses? I mean, there's all kinds of people in the Bible who had impossible situations. But Moses, I mean, he said, so Exodus 14, 15, and 16, and then 21 and 22. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? What's wrong with you? I told you I would take care of you, right? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. This is when they were waiting at the Red Sea. They were stuck at the Red Sea. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land and through the midst of the sea. So what did Moses do? Did he say, oh, Lord, how could that possibly be? What would sticking my rod out there do? That's not going to do anything. He didn't argue with God, did he? He stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the Israels went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and their left. So they walked through, and it wasn't even like mushy or sandy or wet. It was dry. You know, I mean, look what God did. That was impossible. That was impossible with man. There's no way that Moses could have separated the sea for his people to go through. They'd all had to swim. They, you know, that wasn't going to happen. You know, a million people, you know. So, but he did that. That was impossible. And then Abraham in Genesis 15, 4 to 6. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, this man, I don't remember, what's his son's name? The other one. Ishmael. He's talking about Ishmael. Ishmael shall not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight and said, now look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he, Abraham, believed and trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness or right standing with God. And did Abraham didn't doubt that. When God said, you're going to have a son, he didn't consider that he was 90 years old. He didn't consider that. But Sarah, what did Sarah do? When God told Sarah she was going to have a baby, what did she do? She laughed. What would we do? Denise, what would you do if God said you're going to have a baby? You'd laugh too. You'd cry. I would probably laugh. And we'd have a whole slew of Isaacs in our congregation, I tell you what. Because we'd all be laughing. Right? I mean, wouldn't that would be like our first reaction, right? I don't know. But Abraham didn't doubt that. He took the word as his own. He made it his own. He took that promise and he walked in that. And he waited a while, 10 years, until they had Isaac. But it was a while. But it was okay because God saw it through. He did what he said he was going to do. And he can do that for us. I remember Mike shared when he talked a couple of weeks ago about his situation before I knew him. He was divorced, and when we got married, we found out like 37 years ago we were going to have twins, and some of you know that. But he was like, I never dreamed that I would ever have a son. That was impossible to him. But look what God did. He gave him two. This has nothing to do with impossibility. Well, maybe it does. But we didn't even have to really discuss names because we had our favorite names for boys and we were all set. But God did an impossible thing for him. He gave him two sons. I mean, what a miracle that was at once, no less. That's a pretty big miracle. So God did that as a real-life example. So what else did he do for Abraham? After Abraham had Isaac, what did God say? Take him up on the mountain and sacrifice your son. And what did Abraham do? He got all his stuff together and he went. So Genesis 22:1-5 says, after these events, God tested and proved Abraham. He tested his faith. He tested his faith and proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And God said, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I will tell you. You know, they didn't make burnt offerings back then. That was something that happened later on. So they didn't do this. This wasn't even like a normal thing. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and then began the trip to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Jesus looked up and saw the place in the distance. Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And Abraham said to his servants, settle down and stay here with the donkey, and I and the young man will go yonder and worship the Lord and come back to you. So he had that confidence in what the Lord told him. The Lord told him what? Your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky, as the sand by the sea. And then he says, take your son and sacrifice him. God, Abraham knew that God had a plan. And sure enough, he went up there and they started in, and there was a ram in the thicket. And Isaac said to him, where is our lamb for the sacrifice? And he said, do not fear, God will provide the lamb. And he did. He did exactly what he said. And we should never doubt what he says to us. All right, now this is my very favorite one. And anyway, so it's about Mary, right? So an angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby. And she's like, what? I have never been with a man. So Luke 1:35-38, and the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come down to you, and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. And your relative, this is a kind of a side thing here, your relative Elizabeth is also going to have a son, even though she is old. She probably laughed too, but she calls her son John. No one thought she could ever have a baby, but in 3 months she will have a son. Nothing is impossible for God. And then Mary said, we all know what Mary said, don't we? I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your word. And that is like my very favorite verse in the Bible. If God said it, man, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. There's nothing more valuable than the word of God in our lives. And these are impossible situations. So I guess that's like kind of my main thing. Well, no, it's not. I get a couple more things. So I want to encourage you to apply this to your life, your own life. What is your impossible situation? Is it going to work when you have to wear a mask all day? That's pretty impossible. That seemed very impossible to me. Is it helping out your neighbor? Is it that you need money? What does the word say if you need money? He says to tithe and offer and your barns will be full. And they'll be overflowing. That he'll provide everything you need. That he owns the cattle on 1,000 hillsides. And, you know, I guess you could say, not that I like all those political terms, but I was one of those, like, white privileged kids. So I never went without anything I needed. I went to a school full of kids who were in gangs and were poor, they were broke, most of them were probably on welfare, their parents worked in New York City and they took the train every day. It was terrible. But besides that, I was so blessed. And I lived in a home where I was safe. I can't say that for a lot of my friends. In fact, I know that they weren't safe at some of their homes or kids that I knew in my school. But you know, God took care of me. And you know, and I made a friend in college and he was poor. They had dirt floors in their house. And this was not like in 1940. This was in the 70s. And they had dirt floors in their house. And after school was over, his parents took their shoes away so they wouldn't wear them out in the summertime. So they were barefoot all summer. This was in 1978. This isn't something that should happen. But you know what? There's people down the road who do the same thing. or their floors are falling in. And I thought to myself, Lord, what would it be like to be that? I think I should experience that. Well, I did, and I was like 2 minutes later, I'm like, okay, I'm over that. That's not what the word says about me, you know? And God brought me out of that. You know, but we go through things, and I learned that when you tithe and offer, God will provide everything you need. We've never gone without. There was a time back in the 80s when I was on unemployment and Mike wasn't working. And I got $140 a week on unemployment. That's all we got. That wouldn't, like, what does that pay for? Today, it doesn't pay for anything today. It might pay your electric bill. I don't know. But I knew, we knew, we all, Mike and I always agreed about tithing, and we knew that if we tithe and offered, that nothing would be impossible to us. God would take care of us no matter what. So some weeks, our tithe check would be $14. Sometimes, if there's a sale on bologna last week, it was $15, and I can make a $1 offering. But we never went without. Our kids were not really hungry. You know, kids are always hungry, right? But our kids weren't hungry. They had food to eat. They might have looked like they were starving because they were skinny, but they weren't. They were fine. God took care of us. My brother called us when the boys were 3.5 years old and said, hey, we just found out our kids have CF. And we think Eric does too. And I'm like, Eric does not have CF. Bold of me, wasn't it? You know, but he was insistent. So we had taken Eric to the doctor because he was skinny, and Mike's mom was worried. There's something wrong with him because he's skinny. Well, yeah, he is skinny. The doctor said he has a lean constitution. But we were in there, and she wanted to have him tested for CF. We knew that would happen. We also knew that God, that was not God's plan for Eric. We had broken that curse over our family, and it was not going to go forward out of our kids. Never again. It will not see any of our family in the future. So, but God took care of that. That was an impossible situation, you know. And we never had an opportunity to really share that with my brother. And so, or his kids would have been delivered from that too, you know, but we didn't. So, impossible, wasn't it? This impossible situation. So I just want to encourage you to do what God is telling you to do and take that and do that. You know, maybe God is telling you to take all the money in your pocket and give it to somebody else. What does that look like? You know what it looks like? Because God just told me to do this.
This is what it looks like.
That's how easy it is, right? Okay. Maybe he's sharing with you exercise. Well, that's impossible for me to do that because I have to work and I have kids and I have to do this and I have to make dinner and I have to do dishes and I have to clean my house and I'm just tired. Well, you know, God told you to do it. Take what he says and do it, no matter how impossible it looks to you, and it'll be blessed for that. Maybe he's told you to start a youth center in Wellsville. That's hugely impossible in our eyes from a carnal perspective. But what does God say? When you make your service unto him, he makes it all possible. And I'm not saying that he's saying that to anybody, but, you know, I mean, it's a big thing, and that's a big deal, right? So I just want to encourage you that if you are looking for something impossible and you can't and you don't know why or how, find the verses that God has told you, or look in the Bible and look it up. If you're sick, look up all the verses about health and healing and wellness. And if you're not able to confess that word over your own life, get with someone to agree with you. There's people here who would agree with you for anything that the word says. And nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with him. And like I said, this is super, super simple, but the point is nothing is impossible with God. It's not. It's not impossible. In 1981, I was looking for a place for a job. And I was a teacher back then. Teachers didn't make any money, little money. And my parents were so mad at me, like they almost disowned me that I was a teacher. And then I moved out here. But I found a job out here, and you know what? It was like an impossible situation. I was moving 300 miles away from home. I didn't know anybody here, but God said to do it. And I didn't care what the situation looked like. I knew that God would take care of it. And I was raised in a denominational church. I didn't even have the benefit of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit at that time. I just knew that what the Word said was truth. And what God told me was truth, and nothing else matters. You know, if your family's not serving the Lord, what does the Word say? You and your household shall be saved, and they'll serve the Lord. And lots of us have that going on. But that's what the Word says. If it says, if you're sick, what does the Word say? By his stripes you were healed. That's what Jesus died on the cross for. That's what sozo is, health and wellness in every area of your life. And we've heard about that several times in the last couple of months as well. So I just want to, again, encourage you that if God says something in his word, do it. It doesn't matter what that impossible thing might be, because he said you can do it. And don't argue with him. It'd be easier just to do it, you know. His promises are yay and amen, so go with it, you know. And if you're worried about it, get someone to agree with you. They'll go with it. They'll walk with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God, nothing is impossible with God. Okay, so that's all I got. So if anyone wants some prayer for something that seems impossible, come on up. Kathy?
I'll share about an impossible situation that's sitting there right now. I have a friend who is
Thank you. Yeah, come on up.
Well, you know I don't share a lot, but this message just really hits home to us. It was about a year ago, my daughter and her husband, and I don't like to use the word rescue, but it really kind of was a rescue for a little at the time he was only 2.5 boy. And she still got him. They still got him. And the mother does not love this little boy. She doesn't really want him, but she doesn't want to give him up. It's a struggle. She has mental health issues. She's got 4 other children. She's a mess. So we've got this little guy, and of course we've fallen madly in love with him. But he's a little ADHD, 3.5-year-old boy, and if you've ever experienced one of those, it's almost an impossible situation at times. And at our age, wow, we take him a couple times a week. We keep him overnight. We like to sleep in. He likes to get up before the birds. 5 o'clock is late for him. So we get really tired. It's tiring. It's exhausting. We can't almost keep him interested in anything for more than 3 minutes, and he's on to something else. And now he's cooped up inside the house because the snow's too deep in the hill and it's too cold. So all of this just messes with us. We're doing what God's called us to do. We knew that we had to help. Kelly and Brian had to help this little boy. I do strongly believe, the Lord put this little boy on Kelly's heart when she saw him and came in contact with his family, and the mother has relinquished him to the family. She trusts us. But there are times it's like, Lord, how are we going to work this out? He really should never go back home. He shouldn't be in 3 families like this. It's confusing to him. He's got brothers that he loves, but he can't be with them. It's everything. And constantly, I just have to say, Lord, you've got to figure this out. This is impossible for us. We're waiting on you day by day, step by step. But there's got to be a reason why the Lord chose this little boy, because there's a lot of little kids like that. So we could use, corporately, we could use prayer for our family and this little guy. so that we know what to do with him, how to do it, patience, stamina, everything. But I do believe the Lord's going to part the Red Sea here and get him through, get us through. But there are times, even this morning, my daughter is like, it seems impossible. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. But the journey sometimes seems like an impossible journey.
Yes.
So, yeah.
We'll pray for you in a minute. Yeah, don't go far.
Yeah. You can sit tight. Then you can come on up, too. Another impossible situation that Mike and I shared. So our boys were born at 30 weeks, and you all know what that kind of sound looks like. We went to Children's Hospital. They said, we're going to keep them here until the original due date, 10 weeks later. And we're like, no, that's not going to work that way. God's not going to let that happen. They said, they're 2-pound boys. And we're like, that's not what God wants. That's not who he is. And I didn't even know that much about this stuff then, but, you know, somewhere in my spirit it said that. And then they said, you know, when they were born, each of them weighed 5.5 pounds. Well, there was 11 pounds of baby in there, not 5. So it was pretty awesome. God did a miracle from the emergency room to the delivery room. And we saw that. We saw that happen. That was an impossible situation. And then they said, we think you have leukemia. Me, meaning me. And you need to come back and have all these tests. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. You know, God doesn't give you 2 babies and then you have leukemia. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way, you know. Well, sure enough, I did not have leukemia. And but that was an impossible situation. And the guy was talking to Mike, and Mike said, well, what should I do? What should I not do? He said, well, don't let her fall down and hit her head. And he's like, are you kidding me? Do you see how much bigger she is than me? That was impossible. That was another impossible situation. Anyway, the impossible situations. So, anyone else you want to share and come on up? We'll pray for you. Come on, some of you guys come. Okay, come on. Okay, come on, over here.
Gotta hear you. I love the faith that God has put in this couple. Because I don't walk in that kind of faith very often. God will tell me something, and I will, oh, that's just me. Don't let the enemy do that to your soul. You walk it out. Say, no, enemy. I am not going to listen to the lies. I'm listening to God. And you step out in faith. God, help me. And do what he's asked you to do. And you will see, like they've said, you will see miracles. So,
amen.
Ta-da. But don't sell yourself short.
No, do not. So, we'll be here if y'all decide that we want to come on up and get prayed for. But in the meantime, if you're not going to, you're certainly dismissed. And God bless you all. And thanks for being here. We love you. We love you. And people come on up and pray with Jenny and Kathy.